and now Evangelist David Shannon.
If you will open your Bibles to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. We've been looking for several weeks now at 1 and 2 Timothy. As you remember, it was the older man named Paul, the preacher, writing to a younger preacher named Timothy. And he tells him the things that he needs to do to make sure that the church there at Ephesus grows as it should grow. As we begin the second epistle here in 2 Timothy, we see there in the first chapter in verse 7, he told Timothy, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear," and he warned him not to be afraid. He warned him in the very next verse to not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, and we'll talk a good deal about not being ashamed tonight as we look into the second chapter. And then he urges him, as he does over and over throughout the epistles, that you and I need to be encouraged over and over, and that is in verse 13 of the first chapter, to stand firm on the doctrines of truth. Brethren, if we don't stand there, we have no ground to stand upon, because any other ground is shaky ground. It's sand, and we will sink. As we went into the second chapter, we saw some great teachings on preachers need to be preaching to faithful men. Paul, why? Why do preachers preach to faithful men? Why don't preachers go out and preach to those that are not faithful? And Paul says, you as a young preacher, preach to the faithful men and let the faithful men go out and preach to the lost. A very beautiful concept. Because one man cannot reach nearly as many souls as many of us going out could reach. As we look today, we look at the 14th verse as our text tonight. As he encouraged him all of these things, he said, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to profit, but to subverting of the hearers." Paul, put it in your remembrance. Charge these things to those people. Why? Because that is what the gospel is all about. Learning it and applying it to life and teaching it to others. Brethren, it's a cycle. It's a chain reaction. I need to learn it. I need to apply it to my life, and then I need to encourage someone else that doesn't know it to learn it, to apply it to their life and teach someone else. How do we do this? What is the force behind this cycle? What is the driving knowledge? It is, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Tonight, brethren, I hope that if you are not studying the Bible daily, that once we leave here tonight, you will be. Not because David says it's a good idea, but because God says study is a must. Now, we're not going to find a place in God's Word where it says study has to be daily. But brethren, I urge you to think, how often do you feed yourself physically? If you're like me, you like to eat a lot of little meals and then maybe a big meal every now and then. I prefer to eat 5 or 6 times a day. That's my physical being. What about my spiritual being? Can I go all day long and not feel weak at all if I don't study? If I can, I'm in danger. You see, there should be a part of me that says, "Hey, David, you haven't read your Word today. You haven't looked at God's food that He has for your spiritual soul. Perhaps you need to eat a little bit before you go to bed tonight. And tomorrow, perhaps you need to get up and you need to eat a spiritual breakfast, because you don't know the temptations you might have during the day that perhaps you could overcome if you had a bit of God's food in your spiritual being." Studying is so important. Let us all realize that as he speaks here about study, he's speaking, give diligence to the Word of God. Be involved in the Word of God. Don't let it be something that just sits on the shelf that you bring out and that's the book you take to church, and when you come home, you put it on that same shelf and it stays there until the next church service. Here, we see 5 reasons why we should study. Number 1, study to show thyself. Brethren, it's personal. You see, I can give you an illustration, and I hesitate to give it to you because it's so simple and it's so basic, but yet we might need it. If I said to you this evening, "I want to take and I'm going to leave my brain here with you, and I want to go out and live my life, and I want you to study, and I want you to feed my brain. You say, David, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. You know it's impossible. That's right. Why do we think sometimes by our actions that someone else can study for us? Why do, by the way we feed ourselves spiritually, we tend by our actions to say, well, I really do believe that someone can take time to study for me. Brethren, it can't be done. Why should I study? To show myself. It's personal. If I am going to gain the Word of God, it's because I take time to study the Word of God. No one else can do it for me. The psalmist said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And then he continued by saying, it's made me wiser than my enemies. He said in verse 99 of Psalms 119, it's made me understand more than all of my teachers. And then in the following verse he says, and I understand more than the ancients. Why? Because I kept thy precepts. He says, I've studied the law. I've meditated upon your words. It's made me wiser than those that were before. It's put me ahead of my enemies. It's made me to even know more than those that have taught me. Brethren, do we love the Word like that? Do we love the truth so that we study it so much that it has advanced us spiritually? That should be our goal. And as I preach this sermon to you, I preach realizing that there are many of you here at East Gaston that study the Word daily. I realize that there are many of you dedicated to the Word. I've heard you mention your family devotionals. I've heard you mention about in your daily Bible studies, you've noticed this or you read this. I know that there are many of you, and I commend you for that. But let us all give consideration tonight to the importance of study. The second reason, study to show thyself approved unto God. Brethren, we have encouraged our children in today's society. It's not you should, but it's you must go to school 12 years and receive that diploma. You must. Why? Because if you're going to get a job, you're going to have at least a high school diploma. That's the words we hear over and over in our day and time. So what we're saying to our children is, if you want to be approved by our society, you're going to have to study for those 12 years. And now many times we hear people say, and you really should go on and receive a four-year degree. Because that will help you even more. Why? There's going to be an employer that wants that if he is going to approve of you for working for him. We see doctors that go to school for 12 years after the 12 years. Why? They want the approval of their patients. They want the approval of whatever association guides them. Brethren, have you ever stopped to think how many things you and I do for the approval of others? We take tests at our jobs so that we will have the approval, so that we can get the promotion, so that we can get the raises. Over and over in life, you and I do things to gain the approval of others. Brethren, have you ever stopped to think about this particular verse in the light that it says, the way to gain the approval of God, one way, is by studying. Study to show thyself approved. Brethren, we need the approval of God. We can't do without the approval of God. If you will, turn to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Matthew, the 10th chapter, is this passage fits so perfectly with what we're studying because it shows in light two points and just one point in which we are studying. And Matthew, the 10th chapter, in verse 32, he brings out the first point in the first two verses. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Jesus says, listen, if you want God's approval, it's not that easy to get. You have to have the approval of Jesus Christ. You have to be willing to confess His name on earth. How are we going to learn about His name? How are we going to learn about the life that Jesus lived? How am I going to go out here and live Sunday through Sunday, walking after the steps of Jesus Christ, if I never read about the steps of Jesus Christ? The fact is, I must study. If I'm going to hear my name confessed on Judgment Day, I must study so that I know how to live. Notice also the seriousness of God's approval in the following verses. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. God, what do you mean? Jesus, what do you mean? You didn't come to send peace. He goes on. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, meaning him that lives for himself on this earth shall lose his soul in eternity. And then he finishes by saying, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Brethren, I read you those verses to emphasize the point. God's approval is not easy to gain. God says here, if it takes you going and setting a variance, setting a separation between you and your own physical mother or father, he says, I'm here to set it there. Jesus says, that's why I came to this earth. I came for men and women to follow me. And if their mother-in-law doesn't like it, they still should follow me. If the daughter-in-law doesn't like it, they still should follow me. If mother and father says, don't you follow Jesus, Jesus says, I'm here to build up that wall and tell you to follow me. God's approval is not easy. It's not just as simple as saying, God, I love you, and giving lip service. And as we read these words with that in mind, it ought to ring loud and clear when we hear the word study to show thyself approved. It's not easy to gain the approval of God. But Paul says to that young preacher, Timothy, the way to do it is to learn the Word. You'll never gain the approval if you don't know the Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. Now I tell you, when I saw this word workman in the text, all of this time for the short life that I've lived, I thought that workman was a spiritual term all throughout the Bible. I just have never given it much thought. And I just assumed, well, when workman is used in the Bible, it's speaking about a spiritual worker in the church. No. It's used 20 times throughout the Bible. 10 times is the word workman. 10 times is the word workmen. With exception to this one verse, the other 19 times refer to just a laborer, someone that worked with the gold. Many times when the verses throughout the Bible talk about those building the idols, they call those men that work on the idols workmen. The men that worked on the tabernacle, they call them workmen. You see, brethren, the way you and I use the word workman today is exactly the same way they used the word workman in that day and time. It wasn't a spiritual term. So it would be just like you and I reading the phrase, the verse today, study to show thyself approved unto God, an employee of God, or a laborer for God. He's literally saying, you're going to have to become involved. You're going to have to become a worker for the Lord. You see, brethren, listen closely. We will not, starting right here, we will not all be scholars. But we should all be workmen in the Scriptures. We should work at learning the Scriptures. Now, that's not to say we'll all be scholars. But Paul is exhorting Timothy, you make sure you're at least working in the Word. You're studying. You're giving diligence to this Word. Why? Study so that you will not be ashamed. That's our next point. Brethren, have you ever been in a situation? I'm sure all of us have. Where someone asks us a question about our doctrine. Where someone says, well, if that's why what you do, why do you do it? Show me in the Bible why you do what you do. Is it a little bit embarrassing to say, well, I know it's in there, but I don't know where? Is it a little bit embarrassing to say, well, I think that it's doctrine. I don't think it's tradition. Brethren, it is embarrassing. And that's part. That's a portion of the shame that he's speaking of here. We should be workers in the truth. Workers meaning that we're involved, we're learning. Not to say we know everything, but at least we're giving effort to learning. And that we can at least answer questions sufficient enough not to be ashamed. That at least we've built our own working knowledge of the Word. As we think about this, I ask you to turn over to Romans, the 10th chapter. In Romans, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 11, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." Again, we go back to that cycle. Believe on Jesus, you won't be ashamed. Well, what does it mean to believe on Jesus? Just as simply as believe on Jesus? No. It's speaking about a belief that is obedience. A belief that says, I believe the Word, I believe all of the Word, therefore I need to obey all of the Word. The only way to obey the Word is to know the Word. And here he continues by saying, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good news." Brethren, how can people believe unless they hear? How can they hear unless they have been taught? That's our duty. Once we hear, once we believe, it's our duty to go out and to teach others. How can we teach unless we know the Word? When for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. The first principles, the foundations, the oracles of truth. It's what the Scriptures tell us. Brethren, that's a dangerous situation to live in. It's dangerous to live in such a way that we have not studied enough of the Word that we cannot even share the foundations of Christianity. I sincerely believe that's why Paul was exhorting Timothy. Timothy, study. Why? To show thyself. Because there's coming a day when you will have to bow down and you will have to answer for yourself. Thyself. Approved. The most important part of life is to be approved by God. As we look at the final thing here in the 15th verse, he closes by saying, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Brethren, we have something very precious here. We have something that as we divide it, as we say, I'm going to study this book, or I'm going to study these verses, or I'm going to study this subject, we need to be very careful that we do not wrongly divide it. You see, if the Scriptures tells us we need to rightly divide it, we must assume that the opposite can be done, that it is possible to wrongly divide the Word of God. And when we look across this land at the many, many, many denominations, many of them proclaiming to obey this one book, but yet many denominations, we see that truly men suffer from the ability to rightly divide the Word of God. Therefore, it should be my effort, it should be your effort, just to study, to make sure that we are rightly dividing the Word of God. You see, this is a precious book, and if I had a gem, if I had a rare jewel, and it was very, very valuable, I'd be real careful with it. You see, I might even go and I might find a museum that could tell me exact temperature, perhaps the humidity that a room should be, so that this gem, nothing would happen to it, that it would maintain its value. We're careful many times with material things. Brethren, we have something that we need to be more careful with than anything else in our life. You and I do not own anything more precious than this Word. We need to realize it as we study it every day. And at the same time realizing that it's precious, also realizing it's not something that has no danger. You see, the truth is this book is very dangerous. It's dangerous if we mishandle it. If I brought before you this evening a live grenade, and I pulled the pin and I began waving my hand around, I doubt seriously I'd have to tell any of you to leave the auditorium. It wouldn't matter if it's the middle of the sermon. Probably every one of you would get up and as fast as you could, you'd run out. Why? You say, that guy's crazy and that's dangerous and he's going to kill everybody. He's going to blow everything up. Brethren, when we take and we wrongly divide the Word of God, we're much more dangerous than dwelling with a live hand grenade. Misdividing the Word of God will destroy our souls. Rightly dividing the Word of God will save our souls and give us the ability to teach others so in fact they can learn how to have salvation as well. Tonight, a very, very basic lesson from 2 Timothy 2:15. Study. We need to give diligence. Why? It's a personal thing with us. You can't study for me. I can't study for you. We need the approval of God. We need to become workmen. We need to dwell, to labor in the Word of God. It needs to be our task. Just as we're so prompt to arrive to work on time, we need to make sure we're that prompt to study the Word of God, that it's that important to us, that we feel that it's our spiritual responsibility that we owe to ourselves. We also need to study so that we will not be ashamed, and so that in teaching others, we can hide their shame. And the final reason we need to study, so we can rightly divide the Word of truth. Tonight, what is your study habits? I close with this encouragement to you. If you don't study the Bible daily, begin right now by saying to yourself, tomorrow, at such and such time, I'm going to study the Word of God. You see, most of us live a life that's too busy to say, well, I'll get around to it sometime tomorrow. Don't say, I'll get around to it. Say to yourself, right when I get up in the morning, I'm going to arise from bed a few minutes early and I'm going to study the Word of God. Or right at noon, I'm going to study the Word of God. Or before I go to bed, I'm going to study the Word of God. My father read through most of the Bible just by taking one of his breaks at work and taking an old dusty Bible that he kept at work out and reading it just during one of the breaks. Now, he read quite a bit at home, but that was one time that he set aside that he was going to read the Word of God. Brethren, we can't live without it. When are you going to study the Word of God? Tonight, you can't live without God. You can't live spiritually without His salvation. When we read the Word of God, we see that in the occasions when people were saved, it was because they heard, they believed what they heard, they repented of their sins, they were willing to turn away from their sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and to be baptized to wash those sins away in Romans the 6th chapter. Tonight, if you've done that, but yet you've fallen away, I encourage you tonight, if we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?